Good Wednesday afternoon, everyone. Hi, I'm Rob Snow. Great to be with you and great to welcome back Dr. Barry Dworkin for the Wednesday House Call, taking your health-related questions at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255. Star 580, free phone call if you're on Bell Mobility. And a free long-distance call as well, 1-800-580-CFRA, 1-800-580-2372. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
So we're going to give this hour, we'll take any and all health-related questions, but I'm hoping we can have a theme.
Sure.
And the theme is going to be wait times. How long people are waiting to get procedures.
Yep.
Because, as you know, the government targets certain conditions, right? We're going to pump money into cataract surgery. We're going to dedicate more resources to hip and knee replacements
or cardiac care,
cancer technologies, what have you.
Yep.
But this always makes for a very enlightening time when we actually ask the listeners how long they've been waiting for their new knee for their MRI or their CT or what have you.
Yeah, I've had people call me on my show waiting years, 2 years for knee or hip replacements, depending on where they are geographically as well, where they're living. It makes a difference.
And how many calls have we taken over the years, Barry, where people call in and they're not necessarily asking about this pain in my side or the headache that I have, but it's more the question is related to just navigating the system.
Right.
Who do I see to get this looked at? How do I get a referral to this specialist or what have you? You know, it's very complex and people need a point in the right direction in many instances.
And that goes along with the wait times because a lot of these values that you'll be citing, I believe, are from the time that you see the specialist to when you have the procedure done. But that doesn't take into account how long it takes to see the specialist, which can be months and months before you even see them. So there's that aspect. So the numbers are quite arbitrary in terms of how we designate them. And no one has really asked people, which is why, you know, having people call up now would be very helpful. No one has asked a person or patients, how long do you think is reasonable? Because here it's a, sort of a top-down thing telling you how long
a reasonable wait is. For example, we think it's reasonable that someone wait 28 days to have an MRI. That we, you know, it's our goal. It's our wait time strategy that if a doctor says you need an MRI, we want you to have that MRI within 28 days. On average, all across the province to get an MRI, it takes 111 days. Yeah, the target's 28.
It's nice to
have a
target.
That's all well and good. It's like, you know, great to have a target, but 9 out of 10 patients will complete their procedures, in other words, have it actually go and get an MRI in the province of Ontario, 111 days.
Yeah.
Now, for the LIN, it's a little bit better. Here, the Champlain LIN.
Right.
At CHEO, for an MRI, the wait is 60 days. At the Montfort, it's 81 days. At the Queensway Carleton, it's 112 days. 112 days to, I mean, more than 3.5 months. And at the campuses of the Ottawa Hospital, so the Civic, the General, am I missing any? Civic, General, and Riverside, I guess.
Yeah.
137 days.
Right.
137 days. Wow. So if you have a similar story to share on wait times, how long you've been waiting for a CT scan, because diagnostic imaging, long waits for diagnostic imaging. Again, the target for a CT scan all across the province of Ontario, as mandated by the Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care, is 28 days. 28 days. Want to see in 28 days. The average wait time is 41. At the Montfort, it's not bad. It's 22 days.
Yeah.
Heart Institute, 43 days. Queensway Carleton Hospital, 44 days. At the Ottawa Hospital, 58 days. So the doctor says, we're going to try and get you a CT scan 2 months from now.
Yeah, it's
remarkable, isn't it, how long people have to wait for treatment.
And now that being said, for an MRI, you could have one done in 2 days by just hopping over the bridge and going to Gatineau, but you'd have to pay for it.
You'd have to pay for it.
But you would get it in 2 days.
Right. I'll give you one more example, and then we'll take some phone calls. Hip replacement surgery. I mean, we all saw Jack Layton, right, during the election campaign. It's in a lot of pain. Obviously, if anybody knows anybody who's had to have this kind of thing, it's painful when you need hip replacement surgery. So the McGinty government says if you need hip replacement surgery, we're hoping that you can get it done in 182 days. That's the wait. The average provincial wait time is 185 days.
Yeah.
However, at the Montfort is 220 days. At the Queensway Carleton, it's 241 days. And at the Ottawa Hospital, which you tell me probably does the most...
they do a lot. That's
hip
right.
replacement surgeries probably in the city, right? 410 days.
And again...
More than a year. That's
right. And this, again, does not include the time for someone to have gone to see their family doctor, to then be referred to the surgeon, to wait to see the surgeon, who then would decide, okay, now we'll do the 410 days for your surgery. So it's not just 410, it's 410 plus, likely 3 to 6 months on top of that.
Unbelievable. We do have some calls, so let's get to the calls. And if you have anything to add on our conversation this afternoon about wait times, if you've been waiting a long time, would love to hear from you this afternoon, whether it's for an MRI, CT, knee replacement, hip replacement, what have you. How long have you been waiting? And do you think it's acceptable that you've waited that long? Anne.
Hi. Oh, you caught me.
Go ahead, Anne.
My subject is not about that. It's about a close relative who's waiting for a liver. And I heard that in Europe, you have to opt out of giving instead of, you know, it's taken for granted that you donate when you die.
Right.
So I'm just thinking, is that possible here? And I'm asking anybody who would really just go down and if consider giving a piece of your liver to, donate a piece of your liver because there are 350 people dying slowly waiting for their livers.
Well, you raise a very good point, Anne, in terms of organ donation, because there's a lot that we can do with regards to providing. And the liver is a great example because you don't need an entire liver to transplant because the liver will regenerate. And so it's the only organ that will completely regenerate if given the opportunity to do so. And in Europe, I know they have a different, I believe in Spain especially, where it's automatically assumed everybody is going to donate. And if you don't want to, it's almost like a negative billing option where you just say, I don't want that to happen. Here you have to sign either a donor card in order to be able to donate. I guess the only question that would come from this is people would say, well, I shouldn't have the default condition of somebody doing something to my body against my wishes. But that's a political debate and something that people will have to decide. But I completely agree with you with regards to the organ donation. It's something more people should be doing, and it does have a tremendous impact on people's lives. And it goes to wait times as well, Rob, when people are waiting years for a kidney or years for heart transplants or lung transplants.
Listen, I was doing a special program yesterday on the Ottawa Hospital and Chio Foundation Lottery, and was told the story from the mother of a child. Son had leukemia. 3 years for a bone marrow match and transplant. Yeah. So, you know, that gives you some idea.
And now what they're trying to do is with cord blood, stem cells and cord blood, they're creating a blood bank, so that hopefully matches will become a little bit more easier to do, especially for treating leukemias and other blood diseases, blood cancers, to be able to correct that without having to do the search de novo, looking right away for people to donate, as opposed to just looking at the registry to see if anything matches up.
Let's go to Jeff on line 3. Jeff, go ahead.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, I have an alternative view on this. I guess I'll tell you my story and I'll give you my opinion. I'm very fairly young and I had my hip replaced about a year ago. I only had to wait 2 months for my surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And my take on this is, and I can use an example of a family member who had to wait 2 years. She's a smoker and a little bit overweight. I'm in very good shape. I keep active. And I just... My view on it is the doctor who did the surgery probably prioritized me because I was a motivated patient. So I don't know what your spin, what your take on that is, but I only waited 2 months and I had great results. And anyways.
Where did you have the surgery done?
I had it done here in Ottawa at the Ottawa Hospital.
Okay. It's, you know what? I don't know why. I'm glad you had it done sooner rather than later. They may prioritize. I'm not sure how the surgeon would look at prioritizing patients, whether It's on the basis of potential recovery, need to be done sooner because of various, you know, for work reasons, or it's difficult to know exactly the reasons behind it. But Jeff, the point that I'd like to make on the basis of what you said is that pretty much everybody should have that opportunity to be able to get that done quickly, because the pain and the suffering associated with with hip, even if you're not in the best of shape, you're certainly going to be in much worse shape if you've been waiting 200, 300 days and your muscles have atrophied and you can't walk or you can't work, get demoralized, all those things. So I'm glad it took that couple of months, only that couple of months. I'd be curious to find out why. If you could speak to the surgeon, find out what reasoning they had for that to happen, I would love to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just likened it, you know, you hear about the surgeons reluctant to perform surgeries on, you know, heart surgery on overweight people because of their health. I was kind of likening it to that, but yeah, it's good. Maybe I'll ask them next time I see them.
Because usually, in terms of being a candidate for surgery, as long as they fulfill those particular the criteria for replacement, and they do sometimes ask people before they replace hips to lose weight, you know, to be able to recover more quickly and to reduce the strain on the new joint, and they will have people do that prior to the surgery. But there's still lots of people who aren't overweight, who need the replacements, who are waiting a long time. So it just might be, who knows, they had a lull or they had a cancellation and they were able to fit you in. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
It's hard to speculate.
All right. More of your phone calls for Dr. Barry Dworkin ahead in this Wednesday afternoon. 521-TALK, star 580, 1-800-580-CFRA. We're back with Dr. Barry Dworkin on 580 CFRA, and I'm Rob Snow. 521 Talk, star 580, 1-800-580-CFRA. Diane, you're up next with Dr. Dworkin. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, or good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi there.
Hi. I just more or less wanted to make a point. The young lad who called before the news saying that he had the hip replacement and he had gotten it prior, or he got precedence probably over the woman who smoked and was overweight, yada,
right.
yada. I mean, it's a pretty sad day if it ever gets to that point where the doctors pick and choose who they take in. That's one thing. And I was diagnosed with a tumor on my kidney back in 2009, and I had my operation in March. And I think a big factor is it all depends on your family doctor as well and how much of a push and how they, you know, how they...
What kind of advocate they are for you?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Because I've never had a problem getting CT scans whenever I've needed them. I've never waited. I don't know why some people wait 9, 10 a year. It just seems so bizarre to me. And another thing that I think where we've lost a lot is that the doctorism in this country seems to become more of a business, and there's no compassion anymore.
Oh, and, I would disagree there.
I think. I just went to out to a hospital out young country, and anyways, I was denied something that I should have been having done, and the lady was just not nice. And this is the first time though.
Yeah, but you can't generalize to everybody on the basis of one experience. Now, with regards to picking and choosing, it's usually not picking and choosing. It's a matter of triaging people according to need. So given the resources are scarce, people who need their MRIs and CTs, usually the radiologist will look over the requests. And sometimes how the request is sent in, how the requisition is filled out, if it has a lot of detail and if it has a lot of information that indicates that this person needs something very quickly, they'll tend to triage that person first, as opposed to someone, for example, writing MRI of the head and patient complains of headache, as opposed to saying patient needs an MRI of the head because they have a new onset of severe headaches that occur when they're exercising, for example, and we need to rule out whether they have an aneurysm or a mass or something along those lines. If you put that detail in, there's likely to be a better response. So with regards to family doctors and doing, that's the kind of stuff that is helpful. So she's correct in that regard. And the wait times, again, wait times vary depending on the time of day. We have an email from Jan who asked, why do they say wait times for MRIs so long when I know a few people who have gone in the middle of the night or in the very early morning at the Civic and had to wait no time at all? Well, because there's also cancellations. People want to get on cancellation lists. They can get called at any time to go in because these things are running all the time. But also it is because of triaging, and that a lot of the requests are not for urgent things. And so as a result, they get pushed back if there are more urgent cases that need to be evaluated.
knee replacement surgery. And again, folks, this is right from the provincial government's Ontario Wait Times website. So the target, according to the government, for knee replacement surgery is 182 days. The average wait time, so 9 out of 10 patients complete their procedure in 199 days. Ottawa Hospital at 203, 203 days. Montfort, 245. And at the Queensway Carleton, 288 for knee replacement. Now, I remember a big announcement about cataracts. A lot of money was going to be put into cataract surgery. Again, the target is 182 days, and most of the time they beat that, 118 days for cataract surgery. At the Montfort, 132. At the Ottawa Hospital, 147. And let me see what else I was able to find here. Oh, kidney stone removal. Very common procedure. The provincial wait time is usually 77 days, and we do slightly better depending on where you go. 36 days at the Montfort, 65 days at the Queensway Carleton, 118 days, however, at the Ottawa Hospital. So those, they're all available on the Ontario Wait Times strategy website if you have any thoughts on that. Let's go to Tammy on line four. Tammy.
Oh, hello. I was just calling just to point out that there is another alternative as opposed to just waiting for an appointment at the hospitals. There is Kingston MRI, which is available.
Yeah.
And their wait times usually aren't that long. I do work for a doctor, so sometimes we'll send patients there, and it is covered by OHIP. So, and they do also other, I'm looking at their website, actually, that they do other things as well as, I guess, ultrasound.
Is it a private
clinic? No, we've sent people there. You just make a referral to Kingston, okay. And so it is covered. Again, okay. That's good for people who can travel, but if you have someone with in severe pain that their mobility is restricted, then it becomes a little bit more problematic.
This is the problem, though, is I was wondering why we don't have them in Ottawa more like this, you know, and in different areas, maybe in the West End, East End, a private clinic.
Because the Ontario government forbids it.
Well, how can it be in Kingston then?
It's probably existed prior to...
It was grandfathered in.
And also
like
it's OHIP covered as well. Okay. So that's exactly the reason. They are not giving out any more independent operator licenses. So you can't set up any of those centers around... And that's basically it. The government has forbidden the setup of... They consider it private, even though you may be using your card. They still have anathema to this particular type of setup.
Gabe, what's your experience, Gabe?
Well, lucky me, I actually went for a MRI in Kingston, and that was just a couple weeks ago. I have a tear in my hip, a labral tear,
yep.
And I was misdiagnosed for about a year, and was told that if I waited here in Ottawa, it was going to be a year before I could see Dr. Beaulieu, and it was going to be a year and a half before my surgery. So it was going to be a 2.5 year wait, and
that's crazy.
Years.
Yeah, 2.5 years. So I looked at the.
Is it painful?
Yeah, it's painful. Yeah. I can't do any of my regular sports anymore. I had to stop playing hockey. I can't bike to work.
Yeah, and it's crazy for 2.5 years to put your life on hold like that, and then to have difficulty afterwards to even regain the ability. The longer you wait, the more difficult it becomes.
You had to get your knee.
Yeah,
you had it done, and then. You had it done again.
Redone.
Four times. Right?
Yeah. So I'm really, you know, I was really disappointed. Basically, you know, I my impression was, wow, the healthcare system works as long as you don't need anything. And that was my impression.
So now that you got the MRI, what is happening next for you?
So now I have an appointment with Dr. Wood in Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he was... an up-and-comer in Toronto, and now he's moved to Kingston.
Okay.
So his schedule isn't as big, and I'm
pretty
much waiting to find out whether or not he's going to be willing to operate.
Well, hopefully it won't be 2.5 years.
Yeah exactly. Yeah.
Good luck, Gabe.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We do have a couple of calls that I want to get to, the waiting a long time. Al. Oh, Al's gone. Okay. Ross. Are you there, Ross?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Forgive me if my voice sounds bad. I just got out of the hospital. My question is this. I just came back from 11 days of pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to go back, I had the one shot pneumonia thing 20 odd years ago.
Right.
Then my doctor last fall said, I'm going to give you a booster,
mm-hmm.
which he did.
Okay.
My question is, how come I ended up with pneumonia?
The pneumonia shot that you had was called Pneumovax. It covers one particular type of bacteria that has 23 different types to it. So it's pneumococcal pneumonia or strep pneumonia. But a lot of community-acquired pneumonias are not strep pneumonias. They can be other bacteria that can cause that condition. So the vaccine will prevent strep pneumonia, but it doesn't stop you from getting other bacteria that could cause it also.
All right. Second question. When can I expect to sort of get back to reasonable breathing,
mm-hmm.
et cetera?
Are there any other medical conditions that you have on top?
None.
Okay, so that's good. Well, you have to remember, with pneumonia, you get lung damage and you get fluid collection. And although the bacteria are eliminated by the treatment, the tissue has to heal up and recover. So usually within 3 to 4 weeks of having a pneumonia, you're pretty much back to breathing more easily, having more endurance, getting your blood well oxygenated. But it does take a bit of time for those lungs to repair themselves.
I like that. I've got upper pain left and right, mm-hmm. but high.
Yeah, and the pain that you can have sometimes, it's called pleuritic chest pain, and that can happen from having had an infection. You can get localized inflammation, sometimes fluid accumulation. The pleura, which is the coating over the lung, can get irritated, and that can give you that pain, which then restricts your ability to breathe as well. And that also slows down recovery. But ideally, there's even physio exercises to improve lung function. That is, in order to take deeper breaths in, to clear out the lungs, to prevent a condition called atelectasis, which is a closure of the small airways, which leads to fluid accumulation when people can't expand their lungs very well. So there's a whole bunch of rehab that is done as well if someone is having difficulty with their breathing after pneumonia.
This will be the last call. Carl.
Yes. Just some case of MRI somehow mixed up. My son, who is a Marine officer, some 2 years ago had the trouble with his knee, which he injured playing hockey. Now, the specialist wanted to see MRI. Of course, he would have to wait a few months on it. Just the knee is not the most thing. Problem is, he was getting insurance about $1,000 a week, and he could stay and for weeks and months waiting for it with $1,000 a week. Well, he asked insurance, pay me MRI in Quebec, and I'll go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they said, it's illegal. We cannot do it. So he done it from his pocket, went to Montreal. Within 2 days, got MRI.
Mm-hmm.
Next day, he was with the doctor, and in 3 days, was back at work.
Yeah.
Isn't that idiotic system?
That is...
I think you've wrapped it up very nicely for us, Carl.
Very eloquently, Carl.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah,
it's idiotic.
And the thing is, you can set up these kind of MRI centers around town and have OHIP cover the cost. It's not as if you need to make them private per se, where you're spending money, or allow people to buy insurance to cover contingencies like this, so they have the option to do that, which you're not allowed
to
do.
I mean, here he's off work.
Yeah.
His insurance company's paying him to stay home, $1,000.
Yeah.
Why don't you give me the $1,000? I'll go to Quebec and get an MRI. Insurance company says, no, it's illegal.
Yeah, and then he goes, he gets it done, he gets better, he goes back to work, paying taxes again and contributing again to society.
Silliness.
So it's
What can you say? What can you say? Great theme, though, for
good
today.
Theme today.
Could
very
talk
good.
A lot, could talk a lot about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, can keep on going.
Great to see you.
Good to see
we'll
you,
listen
too.
On Sunday at 4 with the Sunday House Call. Dr. Barry Dworkin and Health Headlines every morning during Madeley in the Morning.